Hello, everybody, and welcome to Bookcast episode 90. Today I'm joined by the regular crew, Stephen, aka Ninja Catfish.
Hello.
And Daniel, aka Flame Condor.
Flame Condizzle in the Hizzle.
With that done, let's jump straight into the news. First of all, we officially have our first 2015 game, I guess, for our 3DS. Capcom basically announced Monster Hunter 4G, which is basically Monster Hunter 4, but with extra stuff, like they usually do with the Monster Hunter games. But it will be getting a worldwide release in 2015, and it will be known as Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. It'll be exclusively on the 3DS, so no like Wii U version like Monster Hunter 3 had. And it will actually have local multiplayer, as well as complete online multiplayer as well. It's a pretty big deal, I guess, because Monster Hunter is one of those games that started off on PlayStation and then moved to Nintendo for some reason, and then it rustled a lot of jimmies, so to speak.
So many jimmies.
Yeah, so many people are angry about it. And then, you know, Capcom announced a new version, and it's still only on 3DS, so I guess that's rustled even more jimmies.
Well, the Vita's getting versions of Frontier.
Which is, like, really bad, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's good. I mean, it must be profitable for Capcom if they stick it only on 3DS, or maybe Capcom has, Nintendo have a lot of money to throw around.
Well, I mean, Monster Hunter sort of goes with the system that sells the most. Sells the most in Japan. 3DS.
Has it been the most popular on handheld so far, I'm guessing?
And oh, yeah.
Like, probably. Why would they bother with the Vita? I mean, as much as I like it, it's not a sales, like, it's not going well.
I do know, I'm pretty sure the PSP version sold more than the 3 on the Wii.
If there were DS versions, they would have gone nuts, but they probably just couldn't fit it onto a DS game without it being terrible.
I mean, the closest you got to something like that on DS was the Phantasy Star Zero. So they sort of other companies tried to do something similar. But
So yes, but, it doesn't surprise me that they're going on to the 3DS pretty exclusively.
Yeah. So it's coming in 2015, so next year. We don't know when. It's probably going to be early. I'd say it's early next year. I wouldn't expect it to go too far ahead of time.
Well, I think a lot of people were expecting it this year and like roughly around the same time as when the last one came out.
To be honest, I wasn't expecting it at all, so I guess.
It was a complete surprise when I saw the announcement yesterday.
I had a feeling it was coming.
Well, I don't know how well it does here, to be honest. So anyway, moving on to more 3DS announcements. Renegade Kid, the guys who developed, I think,
Mutant
they're probably
Muds.
Most well-known for Dementium.
I'd say Mutant Muds now.
Oh, Mutant Muds, yeah, sorry.
I didn't even know they did Dementium.
And Bomb and, Monkey.
And Moon. I don't know if you guys played it, but I really liked it on 3D, like, on DS, sorry. It was kind of Metroid-ish, where they kind of throw you in space and you feel really isolated. It wasn't so much scary. Like, Dementium was trying to be scary, but Moon didn't. I didn't find it creepy at all. It was really good. But basically, Renegade Kid have announced that they're going to be remaking the game for the 3DS eShop, and it's going to be called Moon Chronicles. As far as I'm aware, the way that it'll work is it's going to be episodic, and the first episode will basically be the first game, like the DS game, and then if it does well, they can make more episodes that will be completely new and original stories.
And the first one's going to be like, I think $9 US, they said, and then each episode will be about $2 or something.
Yeah, they plan for 3 episodes, as far as I'm aware. It's been completely retooled and remade for the 3DS. Runs at a really silky smooth 60 frames per second with 3D on and off. And there's Circle Pad Pro support if you really want to use proper dual analog controls.
That's really surprising that they're bothering with the Circle Pad Pro, but I guess it's good for those people that have one.
I saw one in stores the other day for the XL. I didn't even know they made them in stores.
Yeah, I saw one too. That would make the XL so huge.
I have one.
Oh, wow.
I do too, somewhere.
I mean, Renegade Kid's one of the... I mean, because even though Western third-party support sort of dried up for 3DS, the indies are really coming to it. And Renegade Kid have... I mean, they've got a lot on the work right now. They've got Moon, another Mutant Muds game, Treasure Noughts, as well as Cult Country, which sort of looks like a spiritual successor to the Dementium games. Which is another.
I remember they were doing something to do with Dracula, and that got cancelled for some reason. I was kind of disappointed with that.
Speaking of Moon James, did you know it was originally a Game Boy Color game?
No.
It kind of
explains some of the basicness of it, but...
it started actually, as a 2D platformer, like Metroid.
That's bizarre. It has a... You can see, like, it's where... How it's been influenced by Metroid if you guys play it. Hopefully it comes out in Australia or something, but I think it will. I just want to correct something, though. I just noticed... basically, the way that it works is there's three episodes per season. The first season is going to be the remake of the original game, and the second season will be the new stuff. So, buy all three so we can get the new one, basically.
I wonder if they're going to put, like, being a first-person shooter, if they're going to maybe try to put some online multiplayer in there or something.
It's one of those games where I don't really think it would suit. I mean, they might, but...
Metroid Prime Hunters.
It seems it's a fairly small-scale game. Like, as you say, they're selling it for about $9 US. That's like usually they only throw multiplayer into a game unnecessarily if they have to justify buying it in a mess.
That's episodic as well.
Renegade's last game for 3DS was ATV Worldwide 3D, and that was on the eShop, and that had online multiplayer.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think if you were to ask them, they would probably say that what I'm about to say, that it doesn't really... fit the theme of the game.
Yeah, I guess.
It's very Metroid, you know what I mean? It'd be like kind of like, you know, the multiplayer in Metroid Prime 2. It would just be completely out of place and so underutilized. Weird. I mean, the coolest thing is that maybe, you know, since it's on the eShop, they know everyone who's buying it is online, so they could have some kind of online. I mean, this could maybe even benefit from like maybe a co-op mode, but I don't know. It's not, I don't think it would be on their priority list, to be honest. But yeah.
We will see.
Yes, we shall. They didn't give a date, as far as I'm aware. Oh, March
2014.
March or April.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty soon.
It's pretty soon. I don't know if we'll get it in Australia. I have a feeling we would. Have they released their other stuff here on the eShop? Does anyone know?
Yeah, like Mutant Muds came out here.
Did Bomb Monkey come out?
Or like in the same week or whatever?
No idea.
I think it was a bit late.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see how things go. I mean... I feel like they kind of teased this, so it might have a high-profile kind of presence in terms of marketing, so maybe they will try and make an effort to get it out at the same time as everywhere else. We shall see. Speaking of things that probably won't come out here, I'm really skeptical. Capcom have announced that they're going to be bringing the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trilogy Collection, it's a very long name, to the 3DS in Japan. It's basically the first three games, so Apollo Justice is left outside in the cold.
Does everyone hate Apollo or something? I've not played him.
I like him, but I'm just making a comment. It doesn't look like he's included.
It's just, I mean, a lot of Game of the Year stuff, I heard people talking about Phoenix Wright, how that was like one of their favourite eShop games. Like, it was definitely much better than Apollo Justice. This must be a horrible game. It probably killed someone's child or something, by the way.
Nah, it's not horrible. It's just, you know, people have were attached to Phoenix and then they changed the character on us, I guess. But I don't know. I think it was good. So the collection is basically all the games done with full stereoscopic 3D support. I'm not sure how that will look because the games themselves are already, you know, Game Boy Advance games, more or less. And I doubt they're going to put the effort into, you know, remaster them.
What were the Wii versions like?
They were just like the iOS versions, as far as I can tell. They're just...
I think they were worse.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Because they did the HD remakes on the iPad, but I think that the WiiWare version
an upscaled GBA screen.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. I mean, the games are in English and stuff. It'd be.
I think the 3D could work. Could look pretty nice. Like it need to be as simple as, you know, the character is above the like the boards or the background behind him. That's all you'd need, and it would still be cool.
Yeah, it's just like the only thing that really would be an issue, I suppose, is they purposely made the characters 3D in the new one because of the fact that it was going to be in 3D. So, and that looked really good, but I just think it's going to be more. This is going to be more like of a paper cutout kind of book. You know what I mean?
It'll be definitely very layered.
If they don't bring it out actually in the shops, James, would you be fine like buying each game individually on the 3DS eShop as like a $10 download?
Honestly, I don't think I would.
Okay.
But that's only because you've played them to death already.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Because these are games that if you haven't played them before, they're amazing. But especially with the third game in particular, if you know exactly what's going to happen, the thrill just isn't there.
So it'll be something that someone like me might buy because I've like played half of the first one and that's it. And it would be kind of nice to have it on, you know, without having to hunt for a physical copy.
Yeah, for sure. I really hope that it makes its way over here. Even if they split it up on the eShop, I think that's fine, I guess. And then everyone can skip the second game, which is really average. But, yeah, at least it's coming. I guess, I mean, I always get excited when these things happen because it kind of says to me that Capcom still thinks that Ace Attorney is a brand that they can keep putting stuff out with, you know? So,
well, it's right, sort of like, it's a niche. About it. It's a niche brand now, and they sort of know that it has its hardcore fan base, and they will always buy every version. It's a bit like probably with Atlus with their fans. They know that they've got this hardcore fan base. They will buy every game they release, so they make just enough. They put just enough effort in to please those fans, and that's all they're happy with.
Mm. But yeah, moving on to some good news. I suppose not good news, but news that we can definitely say is happening in Australia. Yoshi's New Island is the sequel to Yoshi's Island, releasing for 3DS. It has been officially confirmed that the game will be launching in Australia on March 15th, which is less than 2 months away.
That was surprisingly quick.
It's just over a month, actually. Oh, a month and a half.
Yeah, maybe it's just because there's nothing else to look forward to, but I'm really looking forward to this game. I loved the first one. I liked the DS one as much as I could. I mean, this has got the same team working on it. I mean, even looking at the cover, it's very, you know, all the stuff is there from the original games that kind of gets me excited. You know, the monkey, the weird-looking birds that look like a crude child's drawing, and the flower.
Little flower people.
Yeah, like all those things I just remember from the original game. Like, I know that it's probably playing to nostalgia, but... Yeah,
looking at the trailers, it looks like that's it. I really look forward to it, and I hope it surprises me. It does look like it's, hey, remember Yoshi's Island? Here's some more of it, but that's not such a bad thing.
Yeah, I do. I kind of hope that it's not. I mean, I know that it's apparently not a remake, but I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but that reveal trailer, there was so many similar things to the original game. Maybe it was just because it was early days. I don't know. But even if it was early days, they've turned around and made this game pretty quickly. So
yeah,
yeah. And I'm hoping it, because a lot of 3DS games, when they show them off in trailers, they suddenly look way better on the actual system. So I'm hoping this is the same as well.
Legend of Zelda
looks okay in trailers.
Even Zelda, Zelda and Pokemon for me both look much better on the console itself than the trailers. I don't know.
Oh, no, Pokemon still looks shit.
Oh, okay, well. Well. But yeah, so Yoshi's New Island is coming out on the 15th. If you want to pre-order it, you get a bonus Yoshi egg-shaped game case. I don't know if it just carries one game, which kind of seems pointless, but yeah.
Surely not.
I guess you can put something else in there. I don't know. I'm not...
An actual egg.
Yeah. If you really wanted to, I guess you could do that. I don't know how that would work, but yeah. So Yoshi's New Island launching in Australia on March 15th, which is very soon. So, yeah.
Hooray.
Yoshi!
Another of the, probably one of Nintendo's only games in what feels like the first quarter of the year. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze has had a lot more, I think they've had like a press junket because a lot of people seem to be playing it and getting into it recently. And so they must have had an event or something somewhere. Basically, Tropical Freeze is going to be just like the previous games, but the levels themselves are meant to be more dynamic. So, basically, I'm trying to remember what the example I gave. Something to do with the hurricane. If there's like a hurricane in the first level that you play, then in the second level you might see like the destruction and stuff that it's left from. So basically, like the things carry over from levels in terms of visual presentation.
I kind of like that because some of the most memorable sets of levels in platformers are ones where, you know, of course I'm going to use this example, Sonic, where like you'll finish a level and you'll just sort of jump out of that one and sort of, you know, jump into the next one. And it kind of seems like you've traveled from one place to another and that the whole place is one big world rather than you are in level two and it's just completely segmented.
Yeah, one of the things that this game apparently does really well, I haven't seen new footage, I'm trying to kind of stay blind on it, is that, you know, the levels are always constantly moving and they feel really alive. And I guess this is kind of a natural extension where, you know, what happens in the background of a level affects the next one. Obviously, I don't think it'll have, I'm not sure if they've said it will have an effect on, like, gameplay. Like, for example, the storm might block off one route and you go the other. But they have said there are multiple routes through each level, so, I mean, that might be... I'm not sure that's
it does say that levels will change based on what you do in previous levels, so I guess there could be, you know, some little triggers that you do in an earlier level and that might make the next level different or, you know, take kind you to an like, entirely different set of levels. Like
yeah, Mario it could be World-ish. Like... Or like Lilith Wars.
Remember that? Like it's all branched.
Yeah, if you flew underneath those rocks.
Well, haven't they said that there's already like five worlds or something?
I can't remember what they said. They said there was... I can't remember how many they said, but I do know there's they well, in this like article that they published in the magazine, the Nintendo magazine, they basically said there's three secret levels per world, which is more than I think Returns had. On top of that,
Returns was only one or something.
Yeah. On top of that, your full level replays can be shared to Miiverse, which I think is really surprising.
I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I don't know how... I've never actually watched a video on Miiverse. I'm not sure how, because I know Mario had some of them, but I don't know how easy to use that service is, but I assume it would be rather easy.
I'm guessing it'd be like replay data, so I don't think it'd be actual video like on newer consoles, because that takes a lot of processing power to render that sort of stuff. Yeah. I'd say it's going to be similar to like replays in Smash Bros. It'll just be a very small file that describes what happened, and it all happens in engine, so it looks as good as it possibly can, is my guess.
Yeah, no, I think that's what's going to happen as well. On top of that, there's going to be... Well, this is I don't know if you guys how you guys read this, but I read this as there's going to be more animal buddies. Basically, the Nintendo rep who was talking about the game said that he wishes that they could have done more with the animal buddies, because you know there was only Rambi in the original game. So I assume that this means there's going to be more than one animal buddy, but I don't know if
it seems silly for him to bring it up if. It doesn't mean anything. So
but then why would they bring it up?
Can I haven't finished Donkey Kong Country Returns yet. Could you go underwater in that? I can't remember.
No. They had water levels, but they took them out because they thought they broke the pacing too much.
So maybe On Guard's back.
Well, that's what I felt. That's the most logical one because he's kind of the second one.
Well, yeah, On Guard and Rambi are the only two I really care about. Like all the other ones, like the stupid spider or the
ostrich.
I love the spider. Yeah. The spider was the coolest.
He could make webs and you could jump on them. I mean, that was so good.
I mean, I've always sort of looked at the Donkey Kong Country Return games or Donkey Kong Country games as sort of Nintendo's answer to Sonic. It's that fast, like constantly moving sort of platformer.
I don't know about that.
Really? Whereas, I mean, the spider sort of slowed that down, whereas Rambi and On Guard help you continue that forward momentum.
Yeah, but the spider was...
Spider was for sort of platforming and getting higher and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, but then there were levels where it was, I don't know. Maybe there wasn't, I can't remember, but I love the spider. But,
I love
those, maybe we should take a critical close-up on that game in sometime in the future.
What is critical close-up? They'll have
I don't
to
know, it. We should just look at it close-up at some point.
They'll critically. Have to find out later.
In a critical fashion.
Anyway, more on that later, but... Basically, the somewhat harsh difficulty from the first game will be carried over to Tropical Freeze, and you can also buy stuff from Funky Shop to make things easier for, you know, the more casual player.
It was Cranky pretty, Shop in the first one.
Yeah, pretty...
Oh, because you can play him now, okay.
Excited for this game.
Clearly, it's the game that's going to save the Wii U.
No, it's not. I'm not sure if it's just because, you know, it's the only game that's got a date this year, for the Wii U or not, but yeah, I don't know. It just seems like they're really, really, you know, improving it everywhere. The soundtrack sounds amazing from what I've
David
heard.
Wise, he's so good.
Yeah, and yeah, I guess, yeah, Nintendo, Tropical Freeze does come out in Australia on the 23rd of February, so.
I hope they release that soundtrack as a standalone, because I'll just listen
That's
to that.
Less than a month away, guys. How exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and ending, and you know, following tradition, we will be ending with some typical doom and gloom news, and Stephen will do the honors this time.
Me being the wet blanket that I am.
Yes.
Basically, Nintendo, I'm sure people have heard this by now, but Nintendo did not sell as much of anything as they expected to. The Wii U, as everyone knows, they expected to sell about 9 million of them in, I think it's this... fiscal year, I don't know, sometime
before,
over sort of 12, 13. And now, after they've seen what they have sold, they've revised that estimate from 9 million down to 2.8 million. So, you know, like 30% of what they expected to. And who knows if they'll even hit that, which is a bit of a worry. And
that's not good.
It's really not. I look forward to seeing what they're going to do about it in the coming weeks. And as well as that, the 3DS, even though it's the number one selling console of all of 2013, it's also not met Nintendo's estimates. That's gone from, let me see, they expected that to sell 18 million consoles, and it's only they're only now expecting it to sell 13.5 million, which, considering the year the 3DS has had, we've got, you know, Pokemon and Animal Crossing, and also we've got a whole bunch of other games that, you know, hardcore coin gamers might like. It's really weird that Nintendo, they just haven't sold as many as they expected to. I wonder whether they overestimated or...
That's a surprise. I mean, the Wii U is not overly surprising to me. I think we all sort of saw that happening. 3DS, on the other hand, it's like, really? As you said, they dropped the Pokemon bomb on it. I mean, there's only been like 2.5 years in. Usually it's about 3-ish before Pokemon comes out. They dropped that pretty early, and even then, it just didn't get the holes. I mean,
it's weird. The 3DS has literally had one of the best years of any console
ever.
This year has really been the year of the 3DS.
Not even just this year, ever. I mean, Fire Emblem, Zelda, Luigi's Mansion, Pokemon, lots of really good games. And
it also blows my mind that it's the best-selling console of the entire year, but it's still not really going fantastically. I think that just speaks to how people were kind of over the last console generation. So no one was buying old consoles. So the 3DS, even being the best selling one, still wasn't the greatest. I wonder if, and a lot of people have said that it's to do with smartphones coming out and people gaming on them. And I think there's some truth to it.
People in the past, they could go to their handheld for their quick, you know, cheap gaming fix. Now, handheld games are about as expensive as they've ever been. And if someone wants a quick, cheap game, they've got rubbish Candy Crush or whatever on the go.
That's it. I mean, the amount of people that would have bought, like, a Nintendogs or, I assume, like, a Bejeweled or something of that ilk on the DS, it just wouldn't happen now, especially when they're, like, 30 times more expensive.
The most concerning thing with the 3DS is that at this point it's trending below... it's going to be a struggle to see if it can match what the GBA did and the PSP. And a lot of people consider the PSP to be a failure. And that's sort of that's the big one. I think worldwide it's probably at 40 million so far, and the PSP did over 80 million. So it's sort of a bit, okay, that's sort of not a good sign for Nintendo.
I mean, people say, I've seen people say, Nintendo has only made, it's only the second loss that they've made in so ever many years, but I feel like, I think, in terms of the market now, I'm not sure if a loss, I've got a feeling you probably suffer more from a loss now than you might do back then, especially a company like this.
Because, I mean, the entire dedicated gaming systems, as much as we all like them and we can't imagine playing anything beyond a Bejeweled on an iPhone, like, most people can, and it's really showing on most handheld systems are either not selling well at all, like the Vita, or even if they are selling comparatively well, it's still nothing compared to what, you know, dedicated handhelds used to be.
I mean, you have to think, like, a lot of Nintendo's recent issues, I mean, like you look at even just something as simple as the way they've named their systems, like that's been a huge effect on the Wii U, but you sort of think even probably even effect on the 3DS, like people thought, oh, it's just a slight update to the original DS.
Oh, that was super confusing.
And now we've got a 2DS.
Yeah, and people think that, like, people think that the 2DS is just because I don't know. Well, I feel like maybe that people used to colloquially call the old DSs 2DSs. Do you know what I mean?
And then Nintendo, it was a bit of a joke for a while.
And then Nintendo comes out and announces this console. It's called the 2DS. And people just think it's a DS that doesn't fold and that doesn't play 3DS games, so they don't bother. And they're like, it's too cheap to play 3DS games. Like, I know it's one of ridiculous, but that's what people think.
Here's another idea I have. I mean, we've talked about how flashcards sort of ruined software sales of the DS, but they really helped hardware sales. And I mean, it's the same, like you look back at the PS1 and the PS2. I think a lot of the reason why those were very popular is because they were easy to be modded. Whereas the 3DS, you can't really get a flash card to work on it because they lock it out right away. So people, I mean, it's like with the mum and dads who just want a game system they can hand their kids without having to spend anything on games. And they could do that with the DS. Even though it was illegal, they could do it.
I'm surprised can't they do that haven't now. Been cracked yet, to be honest.
It has, but then it gets locked out right away.
Yeah, it's cracked if you have a 6-month-old firmware, so yeah. It doesn't really count. And yeah, Iwata has taken, I feel like we've had this news article before, but Iwata has taken responsibility for Nintendo's lack of performance, but he's not going away. People were saying that maybe he's going to resign because that's the way that happens, but no, he's going to stick around. He's going to turn Nintendo around, he says, and we are looking forward to finding out how he plans to do that.
I don't know if he's the fault. I mean, he's a fault as, I mean, another part of Nintendo's problems is just that they've been happy to sort of ignore the West and not take on any of the West's business practices and all that, whereas Sony is happy to adopt both Japanese and Western philosophies, whereas Nintendo is just happy to do their own thing. And, hey, it works great for people like us who like Nintendo. But then, you know, there's the people who like your Mass Effects and your Fallouts and your Skyrim.
Which is most people.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I really enjoy those games as well, but I mean, I can't play them on the Wii U.
We were talking about it a little bit earlier before we were recording, but how great would it be if there was a Nintendo console that was current? You could play your Fallouts, your Mass Effects, and a Zelda game on the same console. That would be perfect,
that's what we thought the Wii U would be like.
Yeah, well, look, if the Wii U had of, because, I mean, I think the Wii U was just way too late to the market. If it had have come out a year or two earlier and a lot of the late Wii games had been up-resed for it and maybe not have the touchscreen controller and just be an enhanced version of the Wii with better graphics, the Pro controller, and, like, Motion Plus support with the Wiimote Nunchuck, I think they would have a console that would be in a better position. But then they've got this controller, which is sort of a hard message to sell. It came out a year before all the new stuff using really old tech. And apparently tech that, even though it's sort of current, is really hard to port stuff to. And it's just got them in this really weird situation.
So, yes, I think that's about all the doom and gloom we can handle for one podcast, I think.
Yes. But yeah, I think Iwata's only faults is just not, I mean, they need to start working on Western side of things.
Well, on that note, we will go to a quick break and we'll return to talk about the games played for this week, Fortnite. So. And we're back. It's a pretty average week of Fortnite, for games. We've only got two, really. NES Remix for the Wii U eShop and Mario Party Island Tour. Which one should we start with, though?
NES Remix? It's the older one, I guess.
Yeah. So NES Remix.
Did you pick it up, James?
No.
Okay. So just me and Steven?
Just you.
Oh, really? I thought you at least got it as well.
Oh, no. I don't pay that much money for a WarioWare NES version.
What is NES Remix?
It's basically just, you know, Steven said it best. It's WarioWare, but with just NES games. But I think calling it that sort of does a little bit of a disservice to it because it feels like more, but then other times less. I don't know.
It looks as though they've, you know, as the title suggests, gone through and remixed NES games, but like some of them kind of look cool. I've seen ones where you're playing like the entire game silhouetted and sometimes you're playing Donkey Kong as Link and stuff like that.
But all the levels aren't like that. I mean, they've got the remix stages, which are stuff like that. Like one, you'll be running through Mario World 1-2, but it's in reverse. So like you're going, instead of going from right to left, you go from left to right, and playing as Luigi. Or they'll have stuff like with the original Mario Brothers, where you just need to try and clear the screen out, but then the screen's constantly pulling backwards and backwards, so your character gets smaller and smaller. So it's stuff like that. And then it does have the normal games, which will be like very early for Mario Brothers, it's flip over three turtles or use the power block or get the coins. And then, you know, as it goes on, they get harder and harder, and each game has some only have about nine various challenges or nine. Because when it's got a challenge, it's usually a collection of three challenges and then thing. So I have like nine lots of three. I think Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr., which are the only ones I think I've played all of them in, just because they're the simpler ones. I like that. Whereas other ones, like Super Mario Brothers, has like lots more than that. Apparently, there's a total of 204 challenges in the game, so that there is a lot there to do, and. It's not like a game I'm compelled to play over and over again, but it's just something good to play. Oh, I've got a few minutes. I'll quickly do a few challenges and then move on to something else.
It seems like a bit of a wasted opportunity to not have this on the 3DS, given that that's the type of play that you do is the occasional couple of minutes, and the amount of time the Wii U takes to boot up and change to different games. You could have already, you know, booted up your 3DS, played it, and be done with it by the time you get into it.
I think it may have been something that could go either. They could have gone either, but they thought, well, the Wii U needs something now, so we'll just chuck it on there. The selection of games represented in it are Balloon Flight, Baseball, Clue Clue Land, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Donkey Kong 3, Excite Bike, Golf, Ice Climber, Mario Brothers, Pinball, Super Mario Brothers, Tennis, Legend of Zelda, Urban Champion, and Wrecking Crew. So it's all very early.
Yeah, that's like early Black Label NES games. That seems like a weird set of choices, because I didn't even know there was a pinball game on the NES.
Oh yeah, I think that may have been made by HAL. Not sure.
It just seems like they could have remixed some more interesting games. A lot of them sound pretty good, but like
Metroid or Land.
I like Clue Clue Land. Everyone hates on that, and I actually find that kind of a fun game.
It's called Clue Clue Land.
Your face is called Clue Clue Land.
Sounds like Ku Klux Klan.
Wow. And I mean, I think a lot of people were disappointed that it didn't actually include the full games on there. They're like, oh, that's, you know, paying this much, but you need the full games. But I mean, you know, it's like $15. I can't remember. There is sort of a lot to do in it, and it's got Miiverse integration. You get stamps like you do in...
Does it have actual leaderboards, or is it like the silly, you post your time to Miiverse and you compare it to some other people who posted to Miiverse leaderboards?
I haven't noticed. I haven't looked, but yeah.
I really want that, because that seems like a game where leaderboards would be perfect.
I wouldn't mind if they sort of did a follow-up to this with the other NES games they didn't do, like, you know, Kid Icarus or Metroid.
Or like maybe, even like, you know, SNES Remix or like 64 Remix. That'd be nice.
Game Boy Remix.
I think, 3DS. Yeah, I would happily buy that. I don't know if N64 Remix would be possible, but maybe Super NES. I mean, as I said, even NES. Like
Pokemon Snap with
N64 Remix,
Wave Race guy in it.
Would be like shoot down the R-Wing in Kokiri Forest. Like, that kind of stuff.
That's perfect, actually.
In any of the WarioWare games, did they do a Star Fox like Super NES level?
I don't think there's been anything Star Fox in any WarioWare that I've played.
Yes, no, there was. I've seen one.
On the Wii one, wasn't it?
I think so, because that's the one that I remember most. I'd say it's that one, but yeah.
Actually, the second WarioWare game on DS wasn't bad, the do-it-yourself.
Off topic.
I don't know, it's not a game I'm going to go, this is the best game ever! But, you know, it's fun.
Something to play on your Wii U if you want to.
There's lots of challenge. I find myself just keep trying to play a level till I get 3 stars on it, and then I move on to the next one. There's lots to do in it. It's never going to be a game I think I'm going to go hard on and keep hammering. But, yeah, I've enjoyed it.
You don't regret your $13 to $15?
No. There's other. I mean, I bought Chasing Aurora on the Wii U eShop, so there's other games I regret more.
Well, I guess that's all we can say about that. But let's move on to something just as disappointing. Mario Party,
full of excitement.
Mario Party Island Tour for 3DS. From the get-go, I knew that I wouldn't like this. I didn't want to be...
We're so optimistic on this podcast.
I didn't want to be one of those people, though, who just made my mind up before, so I've given it a try.
Opinion was justified?
I don't know. Like, I just don't know why. Like, I just, you know, the Wii U is in so much trouble right now. The 3DS apparently is too, but less so. Mario Party to me is just a game where you play with friends on a couch. Why would you take all the things that make Mario Party really good away? And yeah, I don't know. It's
they've done so many portable Mario Parties, and I've never quite understood.
Haven't they only done one Mario Party?
They did one on the GBA and DS, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And they're all apparently pretty shit.
I guess with this one, one positive is that you only need one cartridge and it's got download play, whereas at least I know on the GBA you pretty much had to own four copies of it to play it with four people.
Yeah, I mean, this is made by, NDCube, the guys who did Wii all Party. And Mario Party. Did they do Mario Party 9? The newest?
Indie Cube is made up of former Hudson Soft guys, I think.
Okay.
Because Hudson Soft used to do Mario Party.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just... It's really hard to put into words why it's so bad. Like, I mean, the boards themselves are... They're just, like, visually speaking, the boards are just so uninteresting. Like, I remember... I mean, who has forgotten... You know, the cake from the first game or the
Wild West level in Mario Party 2.
Yeah, like all of those were kind of they were memorable and stuff, but these they're just so boring. And then the actual objectives of the game have changed. Like it's no longer about going around the board to find Toad by a star and, you know, be at the top at the end of the turns. This time, I mean, to be fair, they've kind of they're trying to change it up, but it just boils down to trying to get to the end of the board the quickest, and that is largely determined by luck, which is just stupid. And it's the worst thing is, like, you're playing for luck in a luck-based game against CPU characters. I mean, you can play with friends as well, fair enough, but it's just not the same. Like, and the mini-games are boring, the 3D is pointless. The game runs at 30 FPS, which just doesn't feel right.
What? It's a board game.
Yeah, honestly, like, I mean, I usually don't I don't give a crap about that stuff usually, but it just doesn't feel right when all the other games have run, you know, really smoothly. This just looks like, even with 3D off, it runs terribly. Like, it's just so, like, bad.
Okay. To me, it seems like a game that I would like to play if I didn't have to buy it and if all the stars aligned and everyone had their 3DSs and we all happened to be meeting up somewhere and someone has a copy and we all sit around for half an hour and play it and download play. I'd love to try it, but I don't think that I would want to buy it, and I don't know how often that's going to happen. Like, it's just not a common thing.
I mean, okay, so when you select your boards and stuff, it tells you how long each will take, which I guess is a nice touch. So there are some that take 10 to 15 minutes, which is, you know, nothing at all. In that one, you know, you have to get to the end of the level, but if you land on a booster section, you can basically stockpile these boosters, right? And you can use up to five. And if you use five, your dice is timed by, you know, what, 4 to 5 or something. So you can basically win the game in one turn. It's just such a bizarre, like, I don't know why that's how they've set it up. And then there's only mini games at the end of every 3 turns for some boards. And then in another board, you might not even play a mini game. It's possible to get through the game without any mini games. It's just...
I mean, I can see kind of why they've done this, because I kind of liked how they did Mario Party 9 and they made the whole thing quicker and more streamlined, but a lot of people didn't like that you were all on the same cart or boat or whatever it happened to be for the level, and I guess they wanted to do the whole streamlining part of it without all being in the same area that, or the same.
Yeah, thing. I mean, I appreciate the changes they made to 9 just to try and change things up a bit. But in this, it just feels like It just feels like nothing has been thought about. Like we're playing a game that, I mean, at least you, if you're playing with 4 CPU characters, you have to sit through each of their turns and stuff, and it's just not fun doing that by yourself on a handheld. You know what I mean? It's gotten to the point now where just so I can play every board and get through stuff without killing myself, I just play with 1 CPU character. Like, so I only have to watch 1 other turn. Do you know what I mean? So it's joy. I don't know. It's just so uninteresting. And then they have Bowser's Tower, which got a little bit of coverage in a Nintendo Direct. But that's just, you know, pick 1 of 2 mini games, win that mini game, go to the next level, and repeat 30 times, and then you win. Also, not that great, not that interesting. every 5 levels you get a boss battle, and the boss battles feel more like puzzles, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, there's King Bobomb, for example, and his one is you've got to slide these lines across the screen so that they make a path from a cannon to him. Do you know what I mean? So it's like it's a puzzle within a battle. And they're good. Like, they're kind of well done, but there's only, 5 of them in the game. It's like, that's it. It's just, it shouldn't be full price. Like, I know $59.95 is the new price for, is it 59? Yeah, it is. For 3DS games, and that is lower, but this should be lower than that. It's too much for what it is. Like, it's just too boring, and the mini games aren't interesting. None of them use the 3D as well as they could. This could easily be a DS game.
Well, that says something.
As I said to you guys earlier before we recorded, like, there's more room for strategy. Like, the level, there's a level that's separated by checkpoints, and basically the way that works is there's each person who gets on that at the checkpoint gets a reward, and then you can either be given stars, or you can have them taken away from you. So basically the board switches up from being a race to the finish, or, you know, trying to not get to the finish before someone else does. Because does that make sense? Like, they'll lose stars if they get there quick sometimes, but then sometimes they'll get them. So it keeps changing, and that's kind of cool. But when it comes down to it, you're still playing against the dice, and it's still luck. Like, you can't. It's just, yeah, it's just a
seems
really.
Like a it's really just, being so luck based, it seems just like a really weird, complicated video Snakes and Ladders. Like, there's nothing more to it than the dice roll, by the sounds of things.
See, I reckon they could do a good Mario Party on the handheld, but they sort of need to, because as you said, it's boring to play it on your own. And I mean, well, maybe they could make one that is good to play on your own.
Well, I think that's what they were trying to do with the Bowser's Tower, but it's just mini games by yourself. Well,
as we said when someone pointed out with NES Remix, a game like that's designed to play in short, bite-sized chunks works. And I don't know, I mean, the mini games are mini, that they're designed to, you know, just a quick game here and there and then go on to the next one. I mean, I don't know if there's a way they could sort of make that work, like asynchronous multiplayer with people. So you just quickly do your moves and upload online or something.
I wonder if this would be a game that would be far more popular. Like, maybe I could see why they made it, since handhelds are far more ubiquitous, I think is the right word, in Japan, where everyone's going to have their 3DS, and that stars aligning moment where everyone's got it and someone's got the game to download will happen a lot more. And so that this kind of game where it's multiplayer focused makes sense, whereas here, where the chance to play it with more than one person is pretty rare, that's why we kind of are a bit sour on it.
It's just, I don't know, it's just this. It's just, I'm just really disappointed.
There has to be a way to make a Mario Party game a compelling single player game.
It's a mini game compilation when it comes down to it, wrapped around the board.
So is WarioWare, and that's fun to play on your own.
Yeah, that is. I know, I agree that is, but that's, I don't know, it's just.
But they're mini games that are centered around one person. It's not competing against other players or the computer, which is
and most of their charm. Computer. Most of their charm is how ridiculous they are. Like, pluck the nose hair.
This might scare people a bit. Mario Party will be 15 years old this year, the series. Mm-hmm. And it's like in 15 years, they still, it's still, you know, has it evolved much from what it started out as?
I know. They tried the karaoke stuff.
Yeah. And oh, I mean, man. Even, but even then, it's still essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Mario Party, I mean, I've actually never, I've played one on the GameCube, one on the N64, and that's it. And they all just seem, you know, oh, it's a fun thing to play here and there, but just the series seems to be a lot of Nintendo's problems with just not evolving.
Yeah.
And it is the exact same, it's basically the exact same thing it was on the N64, but they've sold us like, what, 15 different, we're up to 9 now on their consoles and 3 handheld versions.
Maybe we're just all lonely old men that don't have any friends.
Well, I am, but I don't know about used to.
I mean, I my friends love to play Mario Party, but I mean, I think the furthest we've gotten in terms of Mario Party is Mario Party 4. That's the latest we've gotten to play together. Because I think after that they started introducing those weird gimmicks, and we just stopped. But I don't know. It's just really disappointing, and it's not compelling and. Yeah, I'm just really disappointed. Like, and I really, like, I mean, I was trying my best to like it, but no, no deal.
Well, that's Mario Party.
Yeah, don't go. It's not worth. Stay home.
Party.
And watch a movie or something. And just tell them that you're sorry you couldn't go, because, yeah, it's definitely not
worth
it.
Make up an excuse.
I feel bad just being so harsh on it, but it is rehashing at its finest, like, and that's the other thing, like, you know, unnecessary use of the gyroscope, it's just...
Oh, God, like, I hate the gyroscope on 3DS.
81 new minigames, and I'm like, yeah, but, you know, about 70...
How many of them are Marble Madness?
70 of them are the same shit, but with a different, like... like the, for example, you know the one with the ball... the classic one, you know, where you're running on balls and you have to knock everyone off?
Is that one where there's a good GIF or a YouTube video where someone just stands still and everyone else sort of illuminates
themselves? That one, yeah.
I love that. It's a great footage to watch.
You know, they've got one like that, but it's controlled by the gyroscope. You've got to collect things instead of knock people off. And it's just awful to play. I was trying to... I played it standing up. I was playing it in bed. It was just impossible. I couldn't... I just couldn't play it properly. But, yeah, it's... I don't know. It's just so... It's just Nintendo... It's just so half-assed. I was just so annoyed about how half-assed it is. But, yeah, I guess...
But that's every Mario Party. I mean, I heard 9 was good, but even then, before that, they're all just the same thing.
I guess, but I don't know. I just feel like...
They must sell.
I can't believe there were 4 Mario Parties on the GameCube. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
That got to the point where they just... I mean, it was 5 years between Mario Party 8 and 9 because they just decided to rest the series for a while.
And now they're back in full swing.
And it's still nothing's changed.
And it frustrates me because Wii Party was actually really good. I mean, I played that with friends, we all had a really good time playing that, but then...
Did we talk about Wii Party U on here?
No, we never got around to it, but I didn't play it either, so I'm not sure. But, I mean, given that the same team made this island tour, I can't imagine Wii Party U is much better, but I don't know.
Well, the same team made Wii Party as well. It's ND Cube. That's all they do.
But, yeah, I guess, yeah, I've said all that can be said about this game. Yeah, does anyone have any more final comments about the state of Mario Party?
It's a party that should have ended 14 years ago.
Yes, it's like when you're like...
Mario is that guy who never grew up from being 21, and he's just he's going to school each week all the time. Woo! Yeah!
It's party! Like that. It's like...
Yeah! So Mario is a toolie.
Yeah.
It's like being at a party at 4 a.m. and wanting to go home, but your taxi hasn't arrived yet, so you've got to hang around for a bit more. That's what it's like.
And only the weird, lonely people are still left there.
Yeah, like the people who have nowhere to go.
See, like, I think Mario Party should have been a really big thing on the Wii, and I don't know how big 7 or 8 what the first one was, but because that's sort of the market that the Wii was going for. But yeah, as you said, it's not something that should be on a handheld. And if they want to make a Mario Party for the handheld, it needs to be designed with single player focused first, and then multiplayer after.
But yeah, let's.
I'm gonna play Dokapon Kingdom. That's at least a good board game on the on a Nintendo system.
Okay, well, we will take a quick break and wrap up the podcast. We're back. Not much has happened on the site because, you know, it's been Christmas, nothing has come out, and it's one of those dead periods of the year. We have reviews for Bravely Default and NES Remix up, and there will be a Mario Party Island Tour review, but you probably know what to expect if you listen to this podcast.
10 out of 10.
We just want to talk quickly about what we're going to be doing with the podcast for this year. We are not 100% sure just yet, but basically what we're thinking of doing is... I don't really want to call it a critical close-up because other people have already claimed that.
Already a thing.
Yes, but essentially what we're planning on doing is we're going to start looking at games that kind of had a more of a mixed reception. So, or even games that are old and considered, you know, masterpieces or classics. Yeah, so like, for example, like a game that we talk about a lot, which we're probably going to do for our first episode, would be Metroid Other M, because we've all played it now, so we can all, you know, chime in and talk about it.
And finally be done with it forever and never mention it again.
Yes, put it in the...
Hall of meh.
So, like, you know, Metroid Other M, Zelda Skyward Sword, I'm trying to think of other ones. I mean, classics could include stuff like GoldenEye.
No More Heroes.
Mad World. Not really more of a classic, that's more of a mixed one. But yeah,
Epic Mickey.
Basically things we think would be interesting to talk about for more than 5 minutes at a time.
Yeah, exactly. So like, oh, Metroid Prime 3 is another good one we came up with. A lot of Metroid games, but... yeah, but I mean, and you guys get the point. But basically the idea would be is on weeks when we don't really have, you know, games to talk about and we have to be forced to talk about stuff like Mario Party Island Tour, we could talk about, you know, an old game instead, which is kind of a good way to fill the time.
More interesting.
Yeah, and we think it would be more interesting.
Compelling for our listeners.
If you guys have any thoughts about games that we should talk about, you're welcome to suggest them. It'd be best if it was on a Nintendo platform at any point. It doesn't have to be first party. I mean, I'm just looking at my games right now, and I thought about Metal Gear Solid Between Snakes, which everyone seems to hate, but... we can talk about that too, maybe. But
everyone's
Trauma
wrong.
Center.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what we're going to be doing. We will get a proper schedule or roster done, and then we will try and post that up. But it will be subject to change, of course, because there might be a random Nintendo Direct or a random game that's coming out. But yeah, so that's the plan for now. We might even branch off into other like shows with topics, but we have to think of them. So, yeah. So that brings us to the end of another podcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And more importantly, leave a review on iTunes. That's the best way for you to provide us with feedback and stuff, because we do welcome it. We don't care if you're critical.
You can look at us close up in a critical way.
Yes. We'll
I'm
see
the one who's
all.
Meant to come up with the rubbish jokes.
We will see you all in another fortnight's time, and yeah.
We look forward to talking about the financial the financial meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.